just speak over it. I kind of like what I have tonight because, again, one would think that the Holy Spirit would try to talk, would change the subject. And there's levels where I think he might be changing the subject, but at the same time, I think he's dealing with the same thing. So let's go ahead and go to Acts 27. We're going to just what the Holy Spirit spoke to me on. I just kind of started writing it down last night as I was, Jesse and I were kind of just, I don't know what we were watching. We were watching a movie, and I just kind of writing it down. And I got about 5 pages of notes, so we got to have to go up somewhat quick. And I think we will. But let's read. I don't even know where to start reading at because let's 1 through 3 is where we've been. And again, remember last week we talked about all the favor. And I think that's really important that we understand this because what we're moving into here is let me go ahead and start with this before we read. We need to understand that chapter 27 of Acts has everything in the world to do with contrary winds. What do we do during contrary winds? And even in chapter 28, the beginning part of that, it just builds on that. But this whole thing is about what do we do when the storms arise? And I know there's so many, that Jesus brings the storms, he does this. And I'm going to tell you something. In Scripture, there's a difference between God's wind and the wind from the contrary wind of the devil. And I'll just point that out a little bit here. But everything that we're reading here in chapter 27 is dealing with contrary winds. What do we do in the middle of contrary winds? And I think the first thing that we've got to understand when those winds start blowing, because they were blowing, let the wind blow. Get what I'm talking about? The very first thing that they did was Paul watched the favor of God work on his behalf. The favor of God does not stop just because the winds are blowing. The favor of God doesn't stop just because the storm comes. And I want to preface that because if I read 1 through 3, I'll preach on 1 through 3, and I'm going to start on 4. But we've got to understand that just because you're in the middle of a storm, just because things keep the winds are crashing in on you, it doesn't mean that the favor of God stops. Now let's start reading at verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, and we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary, and under Cyprus is not a great word. I'll explain that to you later. It really would be more under the leeward or the lee, and I'll explain that in a second, of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia, that's it, and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there, the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, scarce were come over against Cnidus, and the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, and again that'd be under the lee way or leeward of Crete, over against Salmone. It's an Italian word, and we sailed against Salmone, which is just the edge of that Crete island. I'm going to go ahead and stop there because I think that really kind of paints the picture that I want to talk about with us tonight. But again, I have it right here. Isn't that something? When it says that the winds were contrary, there is a picture that the winds were blowing, were pushing them, were coming. They're trying to go this way, and the winds were going this way. And that's contrary. But it's just not... a matter of that they were blowing that way, but that word contrary literally presents a hostile wind, an aggressive wind. So in other words, it wasn't just going, because they'll sail through that. On a hot summer's day, there's a breeze, and that they'll sail through that. This was an aggressive wind that had a purpose. Now, here's the point I want to say one more time. There's many places in Scripture Well, the Holy Spirit's considered a wind. Pneuma. It's talked about the Spirit as pneuma. It's breath. It's the wind of God. The Bible talks about the wind of God blowing at different times. Well, but here, the contrary winds. There's a difference. Let me just share one. Let me show you this. How did the Red Sea open? A wind. God said, "Don't worry. I'm gonna take care of it. I'll fight the battle. You take." And He said, "Stick out the rod over the sea, and I'll do the work." So Moses put out Exodus chapter 14. Moses put the rod out over the Red Sea, and a wind blew from the east and divided the waters. So it was a wind that opened the way. So in other words, when the wind blows from the Spirit, or when the wind blows from God, it is a breath that will open up, that will deliver, that will restore, that will redeem, that will give breath back to the breathless, that will give hope back to the hopeless. You follow me on that? When His breath blows, it will restore. When the enemy's wind, it will always be contrary. It will always try to be bring destruction and I'm going to get to this in a second. But it'll always bring destruction. It'll always try to slow you down from the things of God. And again, I'll get to that a little bit more in a second. But I want you to see that sometimes we can look and go. Well, God, the Holy Spirit's a wind, so isn't this just a wind? Sometimes God blows winds to make us use our faith. No, sometimes, I will say that sometimes God will sell you into some storms. He didn't bring the storms, but He'll sell you through them. And again, I'll deal with that in a second here. So, verse 4, we launched thence and sailed unto Cyprus. Did you put the map up yet? Have you gotten the map? Just that first one's fine. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and do the other one because it has more names on it. And you agree with me on my assessment that it has more names on it. Over here it says that they took off from Caesarea and went up to Sidon. Sidon's where he got off the port and went and was able to spend some time with some people. They fed him. They provided him a goodie bag to take with him on his trip. And then what they would normally do in order to go to Rome was, and what would make sense, because Rome's up here, would be just to shoot open sea and go here and maybe stop in Crete, maybe stop in Sicily if they needed to do some stuff. And they would, the open sea was the way to go. But because the winds already had started blowing, and again, there's several things I'm going to bring out that I'm having to be patient about. But because the winds were already blowing, they went up and they decided to, because it seems like it's either coming from the west or coming southwest, from the southwest. So they cut back above Cyprus in order to use the land the best they could for some break. You know, you got to get some land, get some trees, get some rocks, get something in between us and the wind. And so they hugged. And so it's that leeway that it's talking about there is a word that literally, it means basically under the covering. I had it written down in my notes and I forgot. Under the covering or under the protection of Cyprus. So in other words, they use Cyprus as a shield from the winds. Is sufficiently said. I heard one person and their description. One of the commentators was a dingleberry tater. I don't know what he's explained, because he said they went up between Cyprus and the mainland to go underneath Cyprus instead of going out to open sea, which would have been over Cyprus. And I was like, do you own a map, buddy? That was the first one I read, and I said, I'm going to keep reading until I understand it. But the actual wording here is under the lee, or under the lee word, which is just is dealing with a protection or covering of something. And so that's, and again, I think that's one of the fun things about the Bible studies that that makes sense. Okay. And they wouldn't go under, because all the maps will have you say they went between there. But they're hugging the coast in order to protect and to stay safe. Now, I want to throw this in here before we go, because, again, these little things, we're dealing with a storm here. We're dealing with the winds. Let the wind blow. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if the wind would stop blowing? Wouldn't it be awesome if the storms would just quit? You know, I'm not getting any amens on that. Wouldn't you rather go through life without any storms? How about just a little bit of rainfall enough to water the grass? And you know, that's always how I say, Lord, I command this thing to be broken up. If any water wants to come, let it be enough to water the grass and give us enough water. But other than that, it must leave. It must miss us. It must go out of the way. Because wouldn't it be nice if it just showers and no storms ever arose? Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be awesome, man. I would like that. But storms come. And I one of the things I thought of so they're inside, right? And they're getting they would normally just go straight across there, but the captain of the ship. If Paul or one of the other guys was ship, they'd say, hey, listen, every time I've ever gone across to Rome or that area, we just go straight across and we go straight. We split Crete and Egypt and what is there, and we just split that and we go straight there. And they would have gotten out in the middle of there and they would have tried to figure out what's going on, why they keep fighting, why it's harder to fight it now if they'd have just done what they always did. But they had a captain who knew the season. He knew the time, and he knew what was best for them. And I love that picture. I was thinking, thank God for captains. Now, A, we know God's our captain, isn't it? He's the one in charge of us, and if we'll let him, he'll speak to us. And there's a lot of times, and I can't get too ahead of myself, that we go through a lot less storm if we go under his leeward. Right? If we would just let him guide us and direct us and instead of saying, nope, this is how. The number of people I've heard say stuff like, well, this is what Kenneth Copeland did. This is what Kenneth Hagin did. I had a lady who was under some financial pressure. She owned a business. And she was like, I listened to Kenneth Hagin last night. And he said that the Lord had him say a confession like 1,500 times in a day or something like that. It was a crazy amount of day. And then at the end of 30 days or something like that, it broke loose. That's what I'm going to do. And so she started making this confession 15, I don't know how many times a day. I guess she tried to do it 1,500 times. I don't know what it was. But she started. And at the end of the 30 days, she was just tired of confessing. Why? Because she was trying to conduct her ways instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Are you want me to go under, over, under, in, straight, turn right, turn left? Are you going to guide my steps, or am I going to guide my steps? The steps of the righteous man are ordered of God, of their captain. Now, the cool thing is that he also gives you an under-captain, because sometimes in the middle of the storm, it gets really loud and you can't hear that quiet voice, that gentle voice, and you need a voice with skin on that'll preach a sermon in due season and go, that's what I need. I remember a gentleman, I've preached this before, where a gentleman came up to me and he said, I know you often say that you're preaching to the thousands when you preach, but I was the one here today and I could have really used a sermon. And I don't know, it was something on faith or something on those lines or something like that. And I looked at him, I said, you got the sermon. I mean, you just didn't listen. You thought you needed something else, but God knew what you needed. Listen, Sunday, I told you on Saturday that I sat in my recliner after we got done mowing and doing a bunch of stuff around town. We got everything done. I sat down, plopped down about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I was tired and I was worn out. And I sat there and I was kind of wanting to beat myself up because of my message on Sunday. Because I was like, I wanted a good message. And I'm not getting the 3-point sermon or I'm just getting these scriptures and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know what to do. It was frustrating me. And I'm like, Lord, if you want me to change it, I my ears are open. Change it. I'm fine with that. And so I just kind of sat there quietly. I think I had the basketball game on. I was just speaking in tongues to myself. And Jessica was doing something behind me. I don't know. Probably making faces like she always does. Just speaking in tongues, just kind of, you know, just, you know, and the Holy Spirit just started giving me a couple more scriptures that went right along with what he had been showing me. And I started laughing. I said, okay, I get it, Lord. Okay, I'll stay on it. And I knew I had it. Pastor Mike texted me later on Sunday afternoon and said, while he was in worship, he didn't know what I was preaching on. And he said in worship, the Holy Spirit was speaking to him about some things that literally went hand in hand. He said, I know you know this, but he said, you were just 100% on. People may have left and go, I wanted a good sermon today. I didn't want to hear joy. I didn't want to hear that. That's what was needed. That was necessary. And God put an under-captain in your life. Not to dictate stuff in your life, but to literally make sure that you understand where the winds are blowing and that you go in the right direction. Holy Spirit knew what you were facing this week. And he knew the need for joy. He knew it's coming around the bend. And he knew the need for joy. Amen. And that just struck me so much that had it been anybody else in that boat, they'd have gone, no, we always go this way. And sometimes you just need to let the Holy Spirit direct you the way you need to go, because he's the captain. Amen. All right. Verse 5, and when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, which you can really see here where Pamphylia is, Lycia is that area, Cilicia and Pamphylia. And so they sailed along that way, and they came up to a city of Myrna in Lycia. So everything matches up with that map, right? So you can just see the path that they're going. And when they got to Myra, again, this would have been a place where they're unloading some grain and things on that order. There was the centurion found a ship. Now remember, they're sailing on this grain freighter that's not meant for high winds, not meant to go contrary to the wind. And so they're sailing in it, and they're just not moving anywhere. So they get on a ship of Alexandria. Ship of Alexandria was a faster ship. It was a bigger ship. It had more sails. It was able to go against the wind a lot easier, which really comes into how strong the winds were that it was shipwrecked. And so in Myra, they get on a new ship in order to head the rest of the way. Now, here's a really important part. And this is where it really got me going. Verse 7, it says, and when we had sailed slowly many days. Now again, if you're talking to me about many days, I'm thinking they've moved quite a ways. And scarce were come over against Cnidus. Now, if you can see that map up there, that's a very small arrow. That's literally from one side of that peninsula there to the next little peninsula that shoots out there. It's about 150 miles, several days. I kind of did my best to try to find out the distance, and 150 miles should have taken them roughly in the area. And again, if everything was normal, about 10 to 11, 12 hours to go. So they get in the ship in Myra with this contrary wind, and it literally takes them several days. We don't know how many, but it would have been 3-4 days to go 150 miles. Because they're trying to stay close to the land, so for protection, and they're trying to stay close to the land, and then they're going to shoot across to Sparta and try to make it as easy as they can. But it's 150 miles for at least 3 or 4 days. In other words, they're not going fast at all. The wind is legitimately as contrary can be. This is a storm that is whipping up, and they're not going anywhere. Pause. Ever been in those kind of storms? when you feel like you're not going anywhere. Amen. Now, Paul has a mandate to stand before Caesar. And what are the winds doing? They're working against him to slow him down, to get him frustrated. Now, again, have you ever, I have. You ever faced those kind of winds in your gifting or your calling? You know what God's called you to do. You know what God's purposed in your life. And you just, it feels like you're, you know, you literally do that Michael Jackson thing where he leans forward, you know, and is like that. You could literally do that without having fake shoes into the wind because it's coming at you so hard. And it seems like you're going so slow. I want to offer this to you here this morning. I believe there's two main reasons why the enemy brings contrary winds into your life. The first reason, and I believe this is just simply to slow you down, to get you to change course. I've seen this happen too many lives. It says in Proverbs that hope deferred, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. Beloved, I have been in that. I've been a pastor, a lead pastor since 1998. And I have never once in my visions that God has given me about being a pastor seen 10 people, 15 people, 12, 20 people, 25 people, 30 people. I have never once seen that. And yet it seems like I'm going smack dab into a wind. And the harder I work, the harder the wind gets. And it feels like where I should be running, like Usain Bolt, I'm just bogging down like I'm caught in quicksand. And hope deferred will get you to change your course. I know way too many people who started out in the ministry who things didn't go like they wanted to, and they're like, well, it must not be for me. And they changed course. Some of them lost out with God. What's your gifting? What's your calling? What's God put on your heart to do? Who has God put on your heart to see born again? What family member has God placed on your heart? How long has it been? How slow has it been? I've got things that I literally thought 3 years ago I was gonna watch and wait and see things shift rapidly. And 3 years, it seems like it's deeper entrenched in quicksand than it was before. And the temptation is just to shift. Just to respond to the wind shift, which is literally what they did. I'll throw that up there one more time. Because what we'll see here, what's in chapter 7 actually, is that they finally gave in because it was just pulling them down. So I don't know if it had shifted up. It was just pulling them down. They're trying to ride the coast. And so they finally just let it go in order to go down into Crete. They went under Crete, literally under Crete, to dodge the winds there, if you can understand that. So they finally just gave up. Instead of trying to ride the coast, they said, let's just give in and we'll go. And so that's why they took. Well, how many times do we allow the storms because they keep pushing us again out? You know, they push us and making us work so hard. Beloved, that's the enemy's plan. It's the way he works. See, not only does the wind blow, and you can understand, to slow you down or to change your course, but basically to cause you, and I'll just throw it this way, to cause you to go woof, 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 woof. What happens if you go woo, woo, woo too much? Blah. Right? I remember that in Jamaica when we went on this big sailboat out in the, we had about 40 or 50 of us guys on a missions trip down there, and we had a day off, and they took us out on this sailboat in the middle of the Caribbean. One of the coolest experiences I ever had. And all of us guys went out to the front, and the boat ended like this, and then the railing went out beyond. And so we all sat If I found out my kids ever did this, I'd spank them both on the spot. I don't care how they were. But we sat on the edge with our feet hanging over the edge, leaning, watching, and the ship would go, because the waves, we'd go and we'd dangle our feet in the water. And then all of a sudden go, and the front end would be at least 40 foot down, whereas the water was like, and then the next one was, and one of my friends, all of a sudden, I look over and said, John, isn't it? Where did John go? And he's back in the back of the boat going. I said, what's up, John? He goes, just be quiet. I'm trying not to throw up. And I was like, but see, that's exactly what he'll try to do. And again, according to James chapter 1, that when those contrary winds come, it causes your faith to be like the waves of the sea tossed to and fro. That one day you're strong and one day you're riding high and the next day your tips about in the water. What does James say about that man? Don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from God. So if the wind doesn't get you off course, it'll at least get you to that point where you're riding high one day and you're down in the dumps the next day. Because that's his effort. Because he's there to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't take you out physically, he will take you out of your vision, out of your calling, out of your purpose. Paul the Apostle had a purpose to stand before Caesar. And the enemy didn't care what Paul did. Just don't do that. Just don't do that. If we know much about the Roman Empire, we know that was fully the devil's playground. He had it in his hip pocket that in a couple years after this, he was going to use Rome to try to destroy Christianity completely. So he did not need a revival in Rome. And so the enemy will try whatever he can through these storms, through the contrary storms, to slow you down, change your course, or to make you go up and down. So, what do we do, Pastor Thad? We just kind of got to deal with the storms, don't we? We just got to deal with the waves. It's just a part of life. You just got to deal with it, right? Yes, but God has given us ways that if we'll do it His way, it won't be to our detriment. It'll be to His glory. So I want to give you three ways. Here's my 3-point sermon today. I've got 10 minutes because Allison said that she has to go. My grandbaby has to eat some Jimmy John's tonight. So, now if she talks for another 30 minutes after church, then I'm out of the woods. But how do we fight? What do we do when the contrary winds come to us? The first thing I want to present to you, and I tried to make this as much like a 3-point sermon as I could, and so they all start with an L. But first of all, listen to the Holy Spirit. Timing is everything. And one of the interesting things that I came up on as I was studying this chapter is that there was a window that called winter that they didn't sail in. You did not sail in the winter months. Shipping lanes were just shut down during that time. You sailed, obviously, during spring and during summer. Between September 14th and November 11th, after November 11th, you didn't sail anymore. But between those two things were called basically storm season. In chapter 14, Euroclydon, the storm is almost hurricane force winds, typhoon force winds that were in that, that they would come during that September to November season. You want to do as little traveling as you can because storm season was very prominent. Well, according to down here a little bit, I didn't read here, but there's a fast that is talked about, I believe, in, I'm guessing, well, it's just a little in the upcoming verses. There's a fast that was over, which would have placed this trip at the beginning weeks, like October 5th to October 6th, in that area, the first week of October. So this is smack dab in the middle of the storm season. It's smack dab in the time where the journey they're going to make from Caesarea to Rome, they're probably going to have at least some weather. And so what the Holy Spirit said is that sometimes when we try to do things ourselves, we'll end up doing things at the right things at the wrong times. We'll do things that are not wrong, but we're trying to push things. We've got to have it now. And so we start, whether it be spending money or doing this or doing that, I want to do it now. And so you'll end up getting out ahead of what God wants you to do. You get out ahead of God, and then you can't figure out why things are so chaotic. If this would have happened a couple months before, they'd have probably had smooth sailing the whole way there. It would have been a quick trip. If it would have happened in the spring, it would have been probably a quick journey. It would have gone relatively quick. But they decided to do it smack dab in the wrong season. Now, again, I'm not telling you the Holy Spirit's not going to have you go through some rough seas. And I'm not saying He made the rough seas. I'm not saying that He planned. Remember the times, and we're going to go through a couple of these tonight. Remember when Jesus sent His disciples to the other side? One time He said, I want you to go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. And then they got in the middle of these violent storms. Did that surprise Jesus? No. He knew exactly what He was. He didn't make the storms. But He knew in the middle of those that they were going to have to exercise their faith. That's why it surprised Him when He said, you have little faith or you have no faith. So what happens is that battles come your way. Not because God has declared those battles to come your way, but because battles come your way. The devil hates you. The devil's trying to slow you down. The trouble's trying to take you out. He's trying to change your course. He's trying to get you to go up and down to make your faith not right. And so the enemy wants you out. So the battles are going to come. And God says, I want you to step out anyway, because in the middle of these storms is where you're going to learn to walk by faith. It's where you're going to learn to operate in the faith realm, in the spirit realm. It's where you're going to learn to listen to my voice in the middle of the crazy. Listen, beloved, it's awesome to sit in your recliner and have Integrity Hosanna instrumental music going. And you have the window open, and there's a cool breeze blowing on you, and you can smell the lilacs coming into bloom, and then blow your nose and smell it and blow your nose again, and you're going, oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, I hear the Spirit of God saying to His beloved, come, dine with me. It's awesome to sit in that thing, but what about when you're sitting in the middle of the storm? When everything is screaming at you, when your back's screaming at you, when your knees are screaming at you, when your future is screaming at you, when your destiny is screaming at you, when the enemy has stirred up the storm in a way that all you can hear is Him going, you're going to fail, you're going to stop short, you're going to come leave. Yeah, when it's stirring up like that, beloved, that's when you need to learn. That's when you've got to literally practice hearing that voice. I've told you this before, and I'm not doing a great job of going quick, but that's okay. I will go quick. I remember when I coached or assistant coached my daughters and my sons' softball teams, baseball teams, specifically my daughter's base softball team. I would coach first base, and I was the assistant coach on that team for a while. And I'd stand at first base, and I'd have these little girls, you know, get a hit, and they'd run down there, and they'd stand on first base, and then I'd just start talking to them. You know, the pitcher's pitching the ball, and they're just standing here, and I would talk to them about the weirdest things. I don't know if Allison ever had any of her friends go, "Your dad's weird," but I was. I would jibber jabber and jibber jabber. I'd talk to them and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them. I'd talk to them about anything. I'd talk to them about everything. And I would just stand there all they would hear was me. And some people would think, "Oh, you were just trying to be cool. You're trying to be." No, I wanted them to get used to my voice. Because one thing I learned with those little ones is that sometimes they get excited about what's going on and they don't want to listen. And so they'll be on first base, and the ball will be hit straight up in the air, and they'll just start running. I'm running free, running wild. I'm going to score. I'm going to score on this one, but it's going straight to the pitcher. And that pitcher's got a bead on it, and that pitcher's going to catch it. And if they keep running, what's going to happen? They're going to catch it, and literally the pitcher could walk up, throw it. The girl can scoop it up, stand on, and they'll be out because they ran on the pop-up. And so here's what I did. When everything else was calm, when everything else was quiet, I talked and I talked and I talked and I talked and I talked. And they got used to hearing Thad's voice, Coach Callahan's voice. They got used to hearing it over and over, over again in the quiet times. And then when that ball was hit high in the air and all the parents are going, "Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, run, run, run." They'd get halfway and I'd go, "Stop!" And they would recognize that Coach Callahan's voice. And they would stop. "Come back." And they would come back. I remember very few times where I got girls picked off of first base on that because they knew my voice. And beloved, I'm telling you that yes, we need to spend time with God in that recliner on the breezy spring day with that breeze blowing in and the calmness of that whole situation where we learn His voice. But beloved, we've got to learn to hear His voice and respond to His voice when the storms start swirling, when the lightning strikes, when the thunder roars and you're sitting there and it's making you a little nervous, but then you hear His Spirit say, "I'm speaking to my body." So learn to listen. Learn to listen. Don't go at your own pace. Don't just do what you want to do. Don't just do what you think is cool. Don't just do what you, "But I've been waiting so long, I'm going to do it." What do they call it when airplanes, because there's too many airplanes on the runway, we have you on a holding pattern. Because if you try to land right now, it will be destructive. So when it's blowing, when that wind is blowing contrary, beloved, you need to, there's more I could say on that, but we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to learn to love the Word. And yeah, that Word could be something from the Spirit of God, but I'm saying love the Word. Love this thing right here. Keep your eyes, your heart fixed on it. Know it, read it. Go to Matthew 14. Give me 5 minutes. I kind of recognized as I was going through this because I had it. I love this message. Sitting there in the middle of it, listening, sat back and going, "Let the wind blow." Wouldn't it be awesome if the wind would never blow? Wouldn't it be awesome if there was never a storm? But when we know the God that even the winds listen, even the winds listen, let the wind blow, because it's on him that I'm standing. Matthew 14, verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary, aggressively going against them, causing them trouble. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus walking in the middle of them. They looked at him. They got freaked out because they thought it was their certain doom. Straightway, verse 27, Jesus said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Peter immediately is struck with going, okay, I've heard the word, be not afraid. Now I want to go deeper into the word. I love this. I love it. I want to go deeper into the word. If it is you, if this is true, tell me, come. I want to hear the word again. I want to hear more word. Beloved, I don't care how much word you've got. You need that one more piece of word. You need that one more word. You may have come 53 weeks in a row during 2023 to hear the word of God preach. You need the 51 weeks in a row. You need the 52nd week. You need every opportunity you can to get a word, because God has a fresh word from his word every day for you. And he said, I need one more word. And he said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He came to, walked on the water. He responded to the word. He responded to the first word, be not afraid. He responded to the second word, come. Listen, folks, I don't care who's telling me to come. If the winds are going and agitating like they're agitating, I'm still going to have some fear. He responded to the first word, don't be afraid. He goes, okay, if it's you, tell me to come. Come. He stepped out of the boat. There's no fear involved in that. This is not little faith here. This is big faith. The problem is that next verse where it said, when he looked down and he saw the contrary wind. He saw the loud wind. And when he saw it, that first command, he forgot it. Right? And he began to sing. All right, and here's the beautiful part of this. He began to sink, and he said, Jesus, help. Jesus reached down, grabbed his hand, lifted him up. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus stop the storm? He said, it's no good if your faith doesn't last through the storm. I need you to depend on my word through the whole storm. And they walked back to the ship on the water, in the storm, on the contrary winds. Notice there, I know you're going, this is just a storm, Pastor Thad. Verse 30, when the winds were boisterous. Right? When they came back into the ship, the wind ceased. It was a wind situation. It's contrary winds. Jesus wanted him to learn to respond to the word, love the word all the way through the storm, no matter what you speak the word, say the word over and over again. Amen. How about one more? So we got listen to this, listen, learn to listen, love the word, learn to rest. I think Bob Yanyan said it, and it's one that I think stuck with all of us. The greatest level of faith isn't necessarily just responding to the word. It's learning to rest in the middle of the storm. I'm not saying be lazy. I'm saying tame your emotions so that in the middle of the storm, you can stay attentive. You can sleep. You can take a nap. Mark chapter 4. I'm wrapping it up here. Close the Bible. Are you getting this? Holy Spirit's saying this over and over again, using different words, getting punched in the face, all that kind of stuff that we've gone through. He's using different words. Today he's saying, listen, there's winds blowing, and they're trying to take you off course. But learn to listen, learn to love the word, and learn to rest. And you do those things, and you're going to find yourself. What did Paul do during the storms? He rested. Amen. We'll see that more. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll wrap it up with this. And the same day, when the evening was come, I love this one because in the other one where they were in the ship and they were sent out, he just got done feeding the 5,000. So it was miraculous. This thing was crazy. And God gets him in there. This one, he just is teaching. Mark chapter 4. He's just teaching. He spends hours just teaching. He gets him in the boat. So one, he's like, you've seen the miraculous. Can you believe for the miraculous? This one, he's like, listen, you've heard the miraculous. You've heard the word. Are you going to respond to the word? How do you respond to the word? Rest. He said, let us pass over to the word, the other side. That's loving the word. Point number two, right? When they sent away the multitude, they took him as he was into the ship. And there was other ships with him. So it wasn't just the 12 disciples that were, their lives were in stake. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And then they woke him. And I believe that this is why they had no faith, not just a little faith, is because no faith is someone that is looking to pass the blame or to accuse others for their situation. Do you not care that we're dying? But Jesus woke up. He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. What do you do in the midst of the storm? You rest. And again, that doesn't mean lazy. It doesn't mean we're not doing nothing. Well, I don't have to sow. I'm resting. I don't have to obey. I'm resting. No, it means that you obey. And you've got a peace inside of you. Are you waiting for your finances to be perfect before you tithe or before you sow? I want to sow the way the other people sow, or Pastor Ed says, I want to sow the way Jesse Duplantis sows. And one of these days I will. I promise I will. Are you waiting for that day? It's not going to happen in your waiting. You got to start doing it now with the little you have. Better is a little in the hand of a giver than much. I know this is my way of interpreting, than much in the hands of a miser. You got to learn to give in the middle of the storm and then just sleep. But what about that bill that's staring me down to sleep? What about everything that could go sleep? It's the highest level of faith. It's saying, I know I'm safe in the storm. Amen? Let's stand together. Don't be surprised at the winds. Don't be surprised. Again, some of the winds that blow that you think maybe are blowing to take you out may be blowing from the Holy Spirit to prepare a way. So that we don't always necessarily curse the storm. We just learn, we listen to the Spirit, we love the Word, and we learn to rest. And then if the winds are supposed to go, they'll go. Because you'll hear, curse the storm, command that storm to stop. If it's supposed to go to Bangladesh, you'll know it goes to Bangladesh. But there's some storms that are meant to clear the way. One of the greatest ways, and I don't know all of it. I don't understand all of it. One of the greatest ways to create new vegetation is through fire. And it may not look that way for a long time. But when the new life comes up, it'll be healthier. It'll be stronger than it was before the fire came. And I don't understand all of it. I just know what I've heard from different sources. So I'm telling you that don't get nervous in the wind. Get excited when the wind blows. Look, because I've got a rock that is greater than the storm. I've got a lee word that will protect me. It just struck me. I'm done here. It struck me that when I was in high school, We had two campuses, East Campus and West Campus. East Campus was the juniors and seniors went there. West Campus was freshmen and sophomores, and it was the old one. It had been around. It's now no longer there, but it had been around since you know the 1400s. It was an old building, but they had two sections of that: a newer one that they had built, and then an old decrepit one. And then they connected it with what was called the Leeway. And I don't know if it was named after somebody. It may have been named after somebody. But whenever there was a tornado warning, we all went to the Leeway. So I'm starting to think, I wonder if that was is that why they got that Leeway? But that was what called Leeward. Let God be your Leeward. Let His Word be your Leeward. Let His Spirit be your Leeward. Let it guide you. Let it direct you. Let it protect you. And you'll find out storms aren't that scary. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your Word. We thank you that you are bigger and better, stronger than anything that we could ever face. And so, Father, Lord, we're not believing for the storms, but we know that when they come, that as long as we listen, as long as we love your Word, and as long as we learn to rest in the middle of them, that those storms will do nothing and can do nothing to us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name.